I look out in the audience and I see a man of just all kinds of people, different kinds of people, different kinds of areas in life. But I want to say thank you. Those of you that want to change, those of you that want to accomplish, those of you that want to do better. There's nothing worse than seeing young people squander their lives when they could do and prepare themselves for great things in the future. J.C. Penney, he said, show me a stock clerk that has a goal, and I'll show you a man that will make history. He said, show me a man without a goal, and I'll show you a stock clerk. It's okay. Amen. Many of us have worked at fast food places, grocery stores. I remember stocking Winn-Dixie in the middle of the night, and working menial jobs, but knowing in my heart there was something greater and working for it. I want to say thank you to those of you today that are trying your best to be achievers. We got doctors in the house. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We've got great folks here, young people, men and women that are living their lives to accomplish. We're going to accomplish something else here today as well. Amen. We're going to preach the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to go forth, and it's going to accomplish its work. Someone's going to receive it. Someone's going to believe it, and they're going to act upon it. Let's look at Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58. Praise God. It came to pass that when Jesus finished these parables, that he departed thence. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And they said, whence had this man this wisdom? Where did he come from? How is he so smart? And how does he do these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. So really what they were saying is, who does this man think he is? But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. In other words, he's got honor everywhere in the world except in his own country and in his own house. I want to share something with you. Are we not in his house? I wonder if before we're seated, if we could honor him. I know we're family. We ought to honor him all the more. Because there was a time when his family would not honor him, but this family of God wants to honor him today. Let's call on the name of Jesus and ask his blessings and his spirit upon what we're doing here right now. Holy Ghost, we love you, lift you, we praise you and honor you. We exalt and magnify and glorify your wonderful name. We pray your presence in this house right now again. We pray your anointing to break every yoke and to tear down every stronghold. Touch every young person here, every man, woman. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Somebody shout amen. God bless you as you're seated just now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number one, we are in his house. Oh, I want to preach a life altered is a life saved. A life altered is a life saved. We are in his house. We are his relation. And so number three, I hope we have not become too accustomed to his movings. I don't want to just talk about his wisdom. And the last thing I want to do is complain about it as they did in the Word. I don't want to complain about his miracles and his signs and his wonders. I want to be a part of them. And when he's in his own house, and since we are a part of the family of God, I don't want to be any of those that reject him. And where he can't do many mighty miracles because of their unbelief. Amen. There's nothing unique about the preached word of God except the fact that it comes from God. And that in itself makes it more unique than anything else in the world. Praise God. There's no great preachers. And when I say great, I know there are preachers that preach better than others. I'm not an idiot. I know that. I know there are many, many of those that can deliver the word much greater than I can. But yet it is still the word of God. And it's the word of God that makes the difference. And I know that I'm preaching to folks today that want to make a difference. Am I correct? I heard a story of a particular service where there were about 30 Spanish-speaking people. The minister that was preaching didn't speak Spanish, and neither did he understand Spanish. However, he preached in English to the rest of the congregation, and when the service was over, the altars were filled with English and Spanish-speaking people. They came up to him through an interpreter saying that they enjoyed so much the Word of God that he had preached, and yet they did not understand English. What they did, although they didn't understand it, they comprehended it. When the Word of God goes forth, there's plenty of things that you may not understand, but somehow the Holy Ghost lets you comprehend it. You feel it. You have an essence with it. I was flying one time somewhere to preach or whatever, and a group of college students were just seated all around me. And they were talking. There was noise. There was everything. And one of them noticed me reading my Bible. And I guess a little conviction landed on her. And she said, "You know, one of my goals in life is to read the Bible through one time." And I couldn't help it. I took advantage of the moment. I closed my Bible and I looked at her and I said, "Can I share something with you?" And she said, "Sure." I said, "If you ever do that, it's going to change your life." I said, "Because the Bible is the only book in the universe that is the living word." I said, "This Bible is a living organism." I said, "Every time you read it, it will minister to you in different ways. Every other book, you read the same story, and every time it's the same story. But when you read the Bible, it ministers to you." And so you may not comprehend everything or understand everything today, but God can give you comprehension where the Spirit can let it come in and you begin to feel, "I need this." And someone could ask you why and you wouldn't even know. All of that comes with it, but you can have what you need from God today instantly simply because you know you need it. You comprehended the Word of God. Somewhere between the preacher's mouth and the hearer's ear, God gave a little understanding. And that can happen in this service or any service. You may be rich, you may be poor, you may be ignorant, wise, whatever portion of life you may have come from. You can be touched by the Word of God. God can touch children, senior citizens, in the very same service in different ways. It's unique. The preached word of the Lord. I love what the word of God can do because it can move a person toward the altar. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a divine place of communion with God. The greatest blessing of the church is the altar. If it wasn't for the altar, we would have to hear it and could do nothing about it. If it wasn't for the altar, conviction could fall and we could do nothing about it. But because of the altar, because of His sacrifice, when we feel the need to have more of God, it's just a few steps away and we can make contact with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If there's anything that the world has cut off in its religious realm, it's coming to the altar. There are very seldom any altar calls given in secular churches anymore because the devil himself knows that the greatest blessing the church has is an altar where you can go and be altered by God. Things can be cut away that are not needed, and things can be added that are needed, and that's what we're in the middle of right now. Amen. Amen. The denominational world has three basic reasons why they come to the altar. In their whole lifetime, first, they bring their children to the altar. Second, they get married at the altar. And then third, they get buried from the altar. So the altar is a place where they're hatched, they're attached, and then they're dispatched. And that's their altar. However, contrary to human expectation today, the altar for us is more than a place of just dedicating babies, being attached in marriage, and a place where we bring the casket and set it before the audience for the last wake. I thank God today that the altar can be a place of communion with God, of confession of sins and of blessings and healings and deliverances. The altar is a runway to victory. Amen. I had another preacher text me today that's never been here. And he told me, he said, there's going to be great things happen at Landmark today. Amen. And he talked about how it's because of the altar. Because there is an open door where we can walk through and find and get exactly what we need from the Lord. I don't want to leave this place today the same way I've always been. I want more from God. Is there anybody here that will join me? I know there's not a lot of spit and speed right now, but I'm saying something. And if you could obtain what I'm saying here today, there can be a change in someone's life right now. Amen. Praise God. And so the altar makes the difference. I thank God that the altar can be a place of communion with Him. Amen. The entire basis for living for God is denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following after Him. That's where the security for eternity really is today. Amen. Getting under the load of the cross that we might wear the crown. I'm not interested in the crown for glory or for fame. Amen. Down here, I want to get under the cross, live my life for Jesus, that I may obtain that of that day in the resurrection, that eternal crown of life hereafter. That's the crown I'm working for. Amen. When you start looking at God, He wants you to see the glory. But if you ever get on this side of the blood of Calvary and see what this is all about, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Amen. And the half has not been told. That's what it's all about. It's joy. It's the power of God. Amen. It's meat. It's drink. And it's righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. With God, nothing shall be impossible to the children of God. For when deliverance comes, you won't say, look what I did. You'll say, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me right on time. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. And so again, is not this just the carpenter's son? Is not his brothers and sisters and mother with us here today? How can he do these great things? I declare to you, he was more than a carpenter's son. He knows how to use a hammer. I know that. He knows how to use a chisel and a plane, a saw and a sander. He knows how to build kitchen tables, chairs, and living room furniture. He knows how to fix a door or a wall. He was the carpenter's son. But now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, he's the heart fixer. He's the mind regulator. And he's the soul saver. And someone needs altering here today. Praise God. Pulled from the simple to make an example of absolute greatness. And that's what I alluded to before I ever started preaching. Amen. We can come out of that simple mentality. Amen. Don't you ever fall for the fact that even our religious world wants to make Jesus some second person in a Godhead. Amen. There are not three persons. There is only God, and He's not even a person. Don't you make Him like I am. Don't you make Him like you are. Listen, if Jesus is your co-pilot, you need to change seats. Amen. And make him everything. He is the I am. He is the first and the last. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily in the valley. He's the one that's the first and the last. He is God that came in flesh and now is glorified and sits in the spirit on the throne of Almighty God. Don't you make him base. Don't make him some gentle Christian guy that did great miracles. Hey, when I speak of Jesus, I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't you let the devil, don't you let religion, don't you let any other God foundation thing come before you and belittle him, because he is my everything. There's no forgiveness without Jesus. Amen. There's no baptisms without his name. There's no infilling of the Holy Ghost without his spirit. Amen. If you love not Christ and if you don't want his spirit, then the Bible says you are none of his. Hallelujah. He is my everything. And if he's your everything, would you make some noise right now? Amen. Could you make some noise right now? If he's your everything, don't let anything belittle him. He's not Jehovah Jr. The Lord my God said, there's never been a Savior beside me, and there never will. Amen. If God could speak to you right now, he would tell you, I came in the flesh. I died for you. I bled at Calvary. I'm the one that resurrected, and I resurrected myself. The enemy wants you to make him Jehovah Jr. because there's no power, there's no authority, and there's no dominion in that. Amen. But once we find out who he is and put him in his rightful position, that's when we begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell my little brother, amen, once you make Jesus everything, he's going to touch your diabetes. He's going to touch your diabetes. You're a good boy, and I love your guts. But once he becomes everything, once he's number one, once he's the only thing in your head, once he's the only thing in your mind, once he can get you on your feet, once he can get your hands in the air, once he can get a hallelujah out of your lips, I'm telling you right now, deliverance is going to come. Holy Ghost is going to come. Power's going to come. Authority's going to come. My Lord, there's going to be dominion in your life. The Spirit of God is going to take over and take preference, and the enemy's going to have to flee. Hear me now. He's going to bring you to the fountain that never will run dry, and he will wipe away every tear from your eye. You don't have to do it like I do it. I get a little radical. I know that. Amen. And as long as I can, I'm going to keep getting that way. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you may, your worship may be a little silent, but let it be deadly. Deadly to a devil that would come against you. Deadly to an enemy that will attack you. Deadly to false doctrines. Deadly to a cold, dead, dry religion. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen. Oh, hey, don't get mad at me, but get mad at the God that put it in the Word. Hallelujah. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That means you're going to be able to get there. That means you're going to be changed. That means you're going to be healed. You can get mad about that if you want to, but I'm here to tell you, if you want it, you got to come and get it. Because a life altered is a life that is saved. I'm not talking about a life that visits a piece of carpet. I'm talking about a life that is altered, a life that insists on change, a life that insists on the Lord doing something different for them. Amen. Ripping it apart and saying, I'm not happy with this. I'm not satisfied with this. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, our worry might be finances. Our worry may be physical. Our worry may be mental. Our worry may be depression or oppression. And one country preacher said, near demon possession. Hallelujah. Amen. That may be our worry. Amen. But we don't even have to worry about that. All we've got to think about is our altar, where we can stay close to him, where he can alter all of that, where he can fix all of that, where he, or am I making sense? Amen. Praise God. Listen, stay and get close to the altar. Because I'm telling you, when you get a quick fix, if there's no altar, you're going to run away from everything that caused that fix to happen. And when you do that, it's all going to come back. It's all going to be a vicious circle over and over and over. Amen. So what we've got to do is find that place where He can fix it and stay there. Because an altar is exactly what we need. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's able to exceed, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that we can think or ask according to the power that worketh in us. The human mind will limit you to say God can't do it. But that's when God can work. The devil will tell you that it's literally impossible, the situation you're in. But with God, nothing is impossible. So what are we going to believe? Where are we going to hang out? Away from it or at it? Praise God. Sometimes we make things so complex, but we've got to understand the simplicity of how God operates. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Even while I preach, there have been many needs and different avenues that have been met. If you'll allow the Word that you've heard to penetrate your soul and let God give you an injection of the Holy Ghost, you can revive and restore and you can be blessed. That's how people are altered. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God takes you through things. When you're born again of the water, when you're born again of the Spirit, when you're baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, there is no fight that my God cannot win. I want to say it very plain today. You're in the church or you're out. There's no between. You're saved, you're going to heaven, or you're lost, and there's a dead end called hell waiting. I'm not sending anybody to hell. The sad part about it is, I can't send anybody to heaven. Amen. That's your chance. That's your choice. And that's your decision. And this is your opportunity. Amen. The Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Praise God. You may say, not everybody out there is of the persuasion that you are. Don't make me go back to that. Listen, it's not my persuasion, but it is what the Bible says. This Bible declares a man must repent of his sins, be buried in the name of Jesus for the remission of those sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If our gospel is hid, if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to them that are half saved and to them that are lost. Because I'm telling you, it's wide open for those that want to be altered. Amen. I can point the way. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, the Bible said. That's the kingdom of God. But to be carnally minded is death. That's a tremendous division between the spiritual and the carnal. There's an absolute line between what's right and what's wrong. Either it's right or wrong. I thank God that we can have a spiritual mind and live in a peaceful life for God. No one is perfect, but we don't use that for a reason to stay away from the altar. You don't move to Pentecost, you move up to Pentecost. God gives you the best down here while we're headed up there. I can lay my head on a pillow at night and not have to worry about bombs going off, shooters in the corner, blasting everybody's life out of them. Look at your America turning into a third world country because we've got people that don't want God, and His protection is slowly but surely being lifted from your own country because we don't want Him here no more. We don't want flags that represent freedom and the lives of those, Grant, that give their, spill their blood on our streets and on foreign soil because of what they do to protect others. Amen. My son let me know that it was said to him, from an individual that is supposed to guard our country, protect our country, and save our people. He said, we're not in the people-saving business. He found out Carson was a Christian, and he said, we're not in the people-saving business. That don't even make sense to me. I like when Jeff Arnold got on an airplane one time. Jeff's a great preacher, and he got on an airplane one time, and he had a T-shirt on, kind of a sweatshirt thing, and he had little hands painted all over it. Stewardess couldn't help herself. She said, "Sir, what is that?" And he said, "Oh," and you got to know Jeff Arnold. And he said, "Oh, that's people that I saved from a fire." And she said, "So you're a fireman?" He said, "No, I'm a preacher." "I'm a preacher." And she said, "Okay, I get it." He said, "I hope you do, because this is all my Sunday school kids. The Sunday school superintendent had to make this and gave it to me for my flight today." And had little hands all over it. Amen. If we're not in the life-saving business, then pray tell me, what are we doing? What is it all about? Pray, if we can't be altered and we can't be changed and our mentality can't go towards serving our nation or serving our country or serving our fellow man, then what are we living for? Ourselves? That's pitiful. There's only one of them. How much can you serve it? Live for it, worship it, and praise it. Look in the mirror. Is that worth all that? I know my mirror says, "You're not the fairest of them all." In fact, I told somebody I'm magic. Every time I look in the mirror, I turn into my grandpa. And as that little boy said, it's getting worser and worser. So what are we doing? Amen. We've got to get to an altar where we can be changed, rearranged, and made better for the glory of God. Amen. This church will never turn its back on its country. Amen. They're getting what they want, but I'm afraid they're going to find out that what they wanted was not what they needed. I'm full of preach today, and I'm going to wrap it up. But let me just tell you this. He sat at the gate beautiful begging for alms. Why don't you stand with me? He sat at the gate beautiful, and he begged for alms. The preacher came by with his bunch, and he was still begging for alms. History said his parents would take him there every day of his life to sit there. And the Bible said it was a man. So apparently his parents had brought him from the time he was a little boy until he was an adult man and set him at the gate called Beautiful to beg for money. And finally one day a couple of apostolics came by. And he was begging for alms again. In his mind, he thought every day of his life he needed a little bit more money. But the preacher said, "Silver and gold have I none." I don't have what you want today. And then the preacher said, "But such as I have, what I've got, my repentance, my baptism, my Holy Ghost, the faith I have in God, the truth, the message, all of this, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." That day, that man did not get what he wanted. He got what he needed. What I've been talking about today may have bored some. For on the other hand, others may be saying, "Preacher, you just say go and I'm at the altar right now. Because you're talking about what I need, not just what I want." And so with that being said, I open the altar today for those of you that need something from God. Those of you that want something from God. Leave the world behind. Leave the world behind. Come on. Come on. Come on and reach out to Him. He'll meet you here. He'll meet with you here. He'll touch you right here. He'll give you a miracle right here. Holy Spirit, rain, rain.
Let your voice be
heard. Let me hear you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost.
As we stand on your
word. Now, right now.
Let your power
fall.
Let your voice be heard.
Yes.
Come and change.
Altar workers, could you help us right now? We need altar workers to help us. There's people that need something desperately from God. Let's reach out, believe, trust in God, believe the Lord to move greatly, powerfully, mightily. Hallelujah. Be sensitive. Operate in the Holy Ghost. Pray somebody through. Believe somebody with somebody. Amen. Let's see the Holy Ghost move right now.
Your ear has heard. Oh, no, no, my head no.
No. Let your voice
come
be heard.
And change our hearts.
Come on, somebody say it, mean it. Step
word.
Up to it, believe
Let
it. It's all here, and it's all for you. It's all here, and it's all
heard.
For you. Right now,
come
right here, right now. Come on, come on.
As we stand
oh.
on
Hallelujah. 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 And not just here. Not just here. Listen, if you're a guest and you're not familiar with the way everything going around here and it's kind of crazy and whacked out, but you know it feels good and you keep coming anyway. Amen. Do this. I did it. Amen. I wasn't raised in this. And I thought, I'm going to try some of that worship thing. And I was just driving along, worshiping, and I could, hey, that stuff got a hold of me, so I had to pull off beside the road, because I was a threat to somebody's life. And so I just pulled off, and I had me a spell with the Lord. It doesn't have to be here. It can be anywhere that you can make an altar and call on the name of the Lord and worship the name of Jesus. I didn't come here to pick on anybody. I didn't come here to offend anybody. The Bible says a brother offended is harder to win than a city. This city's tough. I thought yesterday, if I had one more lifetime, we could build an auditorium. Cities are hard to win. And if the Bible would take and put notation like that into word, then a man of God's got to be very careful. Amen. Because I wouldn't want to offend anybody. But I will challenge you. I will stir it up and shake it up. Because there is not one loser in this house. Not one. Did you know the Bible said that the Spirit draws you? That's why you're here. Did you know that? Well, if the Spirit drew you, He saw something besides a loser. And I'm here to work on that a little bit. And that's what we're going to do. Because I want to see nothing but absolute winners in the kingdom of God. Because that's the only thing that's here today. It's winners. God bless you. Shake somebody's hand. Greet one another. All of our guests and visitors. Let them know they're welcomed here at Landmark. Let's have a good time tonight. Fill up the prayer room. Everybody in the upper room.